We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Check the floor plan. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And pat we trust. It's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome into Five on the Floor live on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. We'll also be posted to the podcast feed. Got something a little different for you today. First, make sure you check out the episode that Alex Toledo and I did earlier today, along with Eternal Bast. I can't forget him. Because he's always right, about the X Factors here going in. Well, not the X Factors. I'm sorry. We didn't do that this time. We did that on playback. About who has the most at stake going into the play-in and the playoffs for the Miami Heat. So, of course, the circumstances are as such. The Miami Heat will be in Philadelphia on Wednesday. We'll have our Sean Rochester up there to cover it. Don't blame him if they lose. And, of course, if the Heat win that game, then they advance to play the New York Knicks on Saturday. If they lose that game, they have to play a play-in against either Chicago or Atlanta on Friday night for the right to go up to Boston. Here's today's floor plan. Again, I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me, Ethan J. Skolnick, on Five Reasons Sports. We have the aforementioned Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. We've got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him, conveniently enough, at Greg Sylvander. We've got, oh my God, I know this guy, and he's wearing a sport coat. We've got Giancarlo Navis. You can follow him at Kyle Lowry Stan account. No, G Navis 103. He'll be rooting for the Sixers in this game. And we've got Coach Lou. You can follow him at Saucy Takes. Make sure that you get a Z there at the end. Why are they so much better dressed than us? We've got three t-shirts here for Five on the Floor, and we've got two sport coats. And I'm literally at my place near my closet, could have grabbed a sport coat.
Is this a bid?
Could have sent one to Alex in Hialeah and to Sylvander in Carolina. And by the way, where the heck is Alf? Can we start with that? Like, what?
He's sick,
what,
man.
He faked an illness to duck us? What is this? Alf?
He's 404? He's pulling an Embiid.
Where is he?
He's pulling an Embiid by faking an injury / illness to really duck the competition. Lou and I, listen, we came into a fancy place. We wanted to dress for success. We want to dress the part. You know, we have.
Oh, my God. Look at that. I don't even have that hat anymore.
We got it. You know what I mean?
If you're listening on the podcast page, you can't see it. It's a brilliant orange. That's a Five Reasons hat. I don't have that. Was custom made.
We're professionals over at Miami Heat. Lou and I wanted to make sure that we came in. Listen, you guys are number one. You guys are the cream of the crop. So we had to elevate.
Now that's locked on. That's locked on. That's not us. You came to the wrong place. It's not us. And by the way, you wearing that Five Reasons hat, that would be like Jimmy Butler wearing like a Bulls cap.
Like today.
Right, today. Exactly. Exactly. Well, G, Lou, we appreciate you guys joining us today. You are going to be outmanned, but we've got the comments Alex is producing today. He'll be putting these up. I'll read this from Heatles, and then we'll get to the content. I've got a bunch of topics I haven't told you guys about because I haven't come up with them yet. Sixers are a bunch of bozos. I cannot imagine liking this pitiful franchise. What a clown show, man. Embiid and Lowry are awful for the sport. So sick of them. All right, we'll get to Lowry.
That's an ode to Giancarlo, if you're not familiar with the lore there.
Yes, exactly. All right, first topic today, because this is the news item that Alex and I did not get to cover earlier today. Bam Adebayo has been named to the USA team, stunningly ahead of Jaren Jackson Jr., who didn't grab a rebound for the entire tournament this summer. Bam is one of 11 players named. There's one spot still open, and this is greatly significant. You're talking about the former 14th overall pick in the draft, who's now going to be on another Olympic team. He's going to be playing with LeBron, Curry, Durant. And maybe he can actually tell LeBron how great Miami is and get him to come back. But I'll go to you first on this, Greg. Where is Bam Adebayo? Now we're talking about, again, another USA team for him. He's made some All-Star games, okay? Should be in competition for maybe third-team All-NBA this year, although I don't think he's actually going to get that. He's probably never going to get a Defensive Player of the Year award. Where is he going to end up in Heat lore? Is he going to be top five?
Oh, absolutely. He's trending as such, and I don't see any reason why we wouldn't continue to see him move up the ranks in all of the franchise metrics that you see, all of the things like double-doubles and just all – there's many statistics that he's going to – gobble up and become the franchise leader of. So to me, this is just another moment where Bam is stamped. You know what I'm saying? Like when you look at maybe some of the rankings that the pundits put out, he, you know, maybe isn't a top 25 guy. You ask head coaches, you ask players, who are the 25 guys or the 12 guys in this circumstance that you really want to pull together as the best mix of guys, and Bam is among those. So I think it's just a great achievement for him. And yes, no ceiling is definitely heading to the rafters in Miami.
All right, Giancarlo, this is a complicated debate in some way, because to decide who's top five in Heat history, you have to take longevity into account, championships into account, whether a guy stayed into account. So what do we do with this? Because obviously Dwayne, right? Okay. Dwayne. All right. The other players, though, we're talking about here, you've got Jimmy's now in year five, does not have a title, but has taken them to two NBA finals, three conference championships. Shaq was here for basically 3.5 seasons, did win a championship. Zoe was kind of the first marker here in terms of setting the culture. It's really him that established that. Timmy's a Hall of Famer, you know, again, and didn't win a championship, but was an elite point guard during his time here in Miami. Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer, and LeBron James, obviously, is a Hall of Famer, will be a Hall of Famer. How do we put Bam in that? Who do we have to put him ahead of so that he's going to end up being top five?
You know what's crazy? It's like we didn't talk about Udonis Haslem, who probably wouldn't be top five by talent, but if you talk about like top five most Heat or most important players, I'm sure he'd enter conversations. So there's kind of like, what did you do culturally? What did you do on the court? And if we think of like how Riley thinks of these things, Ethan, I know you have talked about it. You know, what are the moments, right? Like Riley's big on like those moments. And obviously Jimmy has had a bunch of them that I'm sure are going to be in the hallways in the arena at some point in time. You know, Alonzo has moments and they have championships. Shaq, second in MVP voting in 2004. So it's not like people kind of misconstrued because Shaq wasn't the main guy in the 2005 season. 2004-05 is when he was second in MVP voting. So I don't really know. I mean, Bam is going to have to be a Hall of Famer to get in that conversation. I don't know if he's on that trajectory yet. I think he's going to, you know, unfortunately for him, I do think that he's going to need to bolster his kind of individual portfolio, including some all NBAs. You know, it's going to be difficult for him to get in the Hall of Fame without that. So I think the conversation has to be like, can he get in the Hall of Fame? What is he going to have to do to get in that Hall of Fame? And then we can start having the conversation, because the people ahead of him, and I see Leif like nodding, they're Hall of Famers. So that's going to be the uphill battle for him. This franchise, we're so blessed that to be able to cover a team that we can have a conversation like this, that all the guys up above him are all-time greats. Like Chris Bosh would be a lot of teams' best player ever. And he's probably number four or five, or, you know, fringe conversation in that discussion. So it's going to be tough for him.
Lou, when we look at where Bam has to go from here, and every year we talk about the offense, right? So this year I've noted it. We talk about shot attempts with him. It's such a, I mean, it's kind of an archaic way to look at this, but October, November, December, January, February, March, April, all 7 months he's declined. So he starts a certain way every year. We talk about it. Okay, Bam's starting to become more of a factor offensively. They're featuring him more. Every year we get to this point entering the playoffs and we're like, what happened? But especially, I think to a certain degree, with the exception of the threes this year. Do they need to take something off his plate? Defensively, yes. Or in other ways so that he has more in the tank at this point of the year? Because it does seem like there's correlation there.
Yeah, somebody who's around 6'10 and maybe can play right next to him would help a lot in terms of conserving his energy. But, you know, in terms of taking off the plate defensively, yes, I think offensively as well, just getting him to his spot so he can just, you know, I don't mind the shot attempts going down as long as the efficiency goes up, which I think that's the next tier for Bam to, you know, like G talked about, hit that ascension. What's the next level? Efficiency is the next level. Can he produce what he's doing now on less looks, but convert them at a higher level, whether that's spacing out to the 3-point line or becoming predominantly, you know, a roller like he was early in his career, just being able to impact the game in more like high percentage areas, just in terms of like the offensive rating and his true shooting percentage and stuff, that those kind of things would help Bam. If he can do that and maintain 90% of the defense, he should be a first ballot.
We're going to pivot to Alex on this one. We got into this a little bit on the other podcast, but I want you to set us up here. Is there anything that Tyler Hero can do in this postseason to change the trajectory of his Heat career?
I think so. I think if he has like a really good one, right? And I'm not saying this is going to be what he does, but if he really stands out, just like a consistent, you know, second or third option for them and is effective at it, you know, after all of this, right? Especially with all the odds against them. And again, considering, because we mentioned this on the pod that we released earlier today, considering Terry and Duncan and their status, because even if they're back, if the Heat kind of just pigeonhole them back right here for the playoffs, I don't know that they're going to be right. So I think, like we talked about, there's going to be more pressure on Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler to carry more of a load offensively, which is what we were supposed to be going away from. So we're right back in there. This time Tyler's going to have a chance to be a part of that, right? Which he hasn't really been since really 2021, because 2022 he was banged up and then he was out. And so it's going to be big for him. And I think if he really stands out, it'll help. Like there's no doubt, because all the questions right now, you know, coming from fans are, at least, is, you know, is this guy part of the future? Is he somebody that we can move for a better player? Like, that is the conversation around him, not, oh, you know, it's more about that, I feel, than about his game, because I feel like his game has just kind of been talked about to death. Like, we know what he's good at. We know what he's not good at. And, you know, like, since he's come back, I like the way he's been moving, making quick decisions. He's got into the rim and the free throw line a little bit more. I don't know how much that's going to stay, but I liked his process since he's come back. He's looking good. He's got a lot. He's got a lot to prove in this run.
I want to tie this in a little bit with it, Greg, but I will throw this one at you specifically, because I know that fans say sometimes that we sunshine pump, we take up for the front office and all that. So here you go. What would it take this offseason for you to say, okay, they've effed up? They've gone the wrong direction here. They are not seeing the forest. They're not seeing what we're seeing or what fans are seeing. They're not seeing the forest from the trees, so to speak. What would be the thing they do? Is it inertia? Is it a certain kind of move? Like, what would get you to lose confidence in their approach?
I don't know that I could necessarily lose confidence in the top level approach, because I think that just one run does not make up a trend necessarily. So, but I would say that if they get swept off the floor by Boston and just look like they're leaps and bounds behind them, you may need to look at shaking up this roster. And I just, the other way that I think about this is, if you look in Heat history, teams like, and when I say teams, I mean like core groups together, you don't get much longer than a 5-year run typically. So at some point, this is going to come to an end, because it's just, there's no precedent for them riding out with teams for a decade. As much as Riley talked about wanting to have that decade team with the big three, that's didn't happen. And so this is not going to be that type of team. So I kind of feel like they need major moves regardless, that there's some scoring juice that this team just sorely lacks. I don't know that anything in this run is going to change my mind about that.
Lou, how many years extension would you give Jimmy Butler? At a max.
I pass on the question.
Whatever he wants.
It's a tough question.
It's kind of like it's front loaded with what he asked Greg. He asked, what would it take for the front office, you know, for you to lose faith? And to me, it's, you know, not pick a direction. If you stay in this balance of, are you trying to win now? Or are you trying to build for the future? If you give Jimmy a max extension, everybody's on the table at that point, in my opinion. So you can try to make the team better. At least everybody should be to a certain level. But if not, then, you know, if you're going to pick the younger, then there's no reason to extend Jimmy. They just need, in my opinion, they just need to make a decision if that's going to be the case. So my answer is to be determined.
Okay, you can't do TBD. I'm going to G. TBD over to G. So if you gave Jimmy Butler a two-year extension, let's just say you're going to max him for 2 years, that's it. Okay, we're going to, based on what he's done, not based necessarily on what you think he's going to do, but based on what he's done, which gets into everything that happened with Dwayne back in 15 and 16 and decisions that were made. But you want to be the franchise that takes care of your guys. You're going to give him the two-year extension. What is your expectation level of him then? Are you expecting him to start to play? Him as leader, as a leader of the team. Are you expecting him then to suit up for 65 to 75 games? Are you just okay with this kind of hibernation until sometime in April and he pops up in a bunch of magazine covers and says nobody wants to play our team while we're stuck in the eighth spot? Like, are you okay with that on a 2 year max extension?
Am I okay with it? Not really, but you cannot nickel and dime your guys like you did with Dwayne. That was such a catastrophe. Ethan, you remember you remember that Dwayne was doing like media scrums in Chicago looking like, oh God, what have I done? Pat was lost at sea. Mickey's like, I couldn't keep them together. Nobody was happy. We're not going to do that again. They're not going to do it again. I think they've overcorrected to a degree. Like, they gave a bunch of dudes a bunch of 4-year contracts because we were all happy and culture pilled and blah, blah, blah. I think that, you know, we've come back to normal, but I don't think that a guy that has, there's a generation of kids growing up that think that that guy is Superman. You cannot just nickel and dime him. And then when you ask your parents, what happened to Jimmy? Oh, you know, they didn't want to pay him. Blah, blah. You can't do that. You give him what he wants. Whether you're okay with his production, listen, he's not an 82-game player.
Are you okay then? I'm going to follow with you on this, though. Are you okay then with being somewhat non-competitive for a championship because you're devoting $50 million plus of your cap to a guy who's not playing all the time?
That's life in the NBA, man. That's life in the NBA. Like, we, you know, you can either not be competing with Jimmy or not be competing on a rebuild that may or may not work. You know, the Sixers were in a rebuild. They tanked for 7 years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes long. Or, listen, you ride into the sunset and, you know, Jimmy gives you a buzzer beater against Chicago and everybody feels great. And maybe, just maybe, you get a little magic in a playoff series and everyone's happy and he retires, he goes off to the sunset. And in the meantime, Ethan, listen, you know, they've invested in their coach. They gave Eric Spoelstra the most money that a coach has had. You know, they have invested in their front office. They've invested in their scouting. They continually find guys in the middle of the draft, which is where they're going to be picking if Jimmy Butler keeps having the regular season. So they're exceptional. They find the undrafted guys, all that stuff. They can survive with that. They'll figure it out. But you just give them and you just kind of deal with it. You know what I mean?
Are you saying Jimmy is light years ahead because he like kind of, you know, eats crap during the regular season and he gets them a higher pick as a result every time? He's giving them the 15th
pick. I never thought of that. I didn't think of that.
You got the Hawkes.
No.
You got the Hawkes. No, that's exactly. Right. But to your point, G, if we're saying they're not going to make the same mistake that they made with Dwayne, are we saying that Jimmy has earned what Dwayne had earned with this organization?
It's a different league. Dwayne Wade is a franchise leader in everything, in titles and wins and points and every statistical category that matters. In feelings, we were all there when he came back in a Bulls uniform and everyone They're grown ass men in the stands crying because of how much they love that guy. Like, no one's ever going to be him. But this is a different league.
You're just talking about you?
Just me. Me and Alex Solana. You know, it's a different league, Ethan. And now, you know, you get more with less. And he's done a lot. Like, those performances, the being in the finals, you know, the just vanquishing opponents and sending them to self-help books, that's not a small thing. And that's going to be stuff people remember forever. So he's not Dwayne. No one's ever going to be Dwayne. But I think he's done enough to earn that.
What's up, guys? It's Pablo the Intern here, and I know I'm interrupting your podcast, but we have to talk about the company Unified Healing that is sponsoring today's episode. You may be wondering, what is the Unified Healing? Well, I'm about to tell you. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System for short. This technology is perfect whenever you're tired, you need some relaxation, or you just want to feel good. G and I already had the pleasure of visiting one of the centers here in Miami, and my God, it was amazing. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/heatbeat to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/heatbeat. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Meds here. Bro, I'm even teaching G how to do these ad reads much faster. I don't mean to do them so fast. I apologize for that. Sometimes we get some good stuff from the comments here. So actually, this spurs a question for me. Greg, I'll go to you on this one. Okay. A Jimmy ring. Where would the significance be? Is it ahead of the Zoe ring? Is it ahead of LeBron breaking through with the big three in 2012? Is it ahead of the Ray Allen ring where you're on the brink of disaster right there and you end up winning? Dwayne's first, Jimmy's first. Where would you put it?
That's tough. Man, that's a tough question. 06 is definitely first. I would definitely think that you have to give 2013 its due as just, you know, what an iconic team that was. But then you're vying for position there. I really do think that a significance of a ring after the big three would be a huge, marker for the franchise just to finally get over the hump again and prove that they can do it with a new build, with a new leader, and it not be, you know, the LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade superstar show, you know, where they were rock and roll stars on the road every day. Like, this is a different kind of group built differently. And I think that it would definitely be in the handful. And the fact that I can even say handful of greatest moments in the history of the franchise is incredible that there is so many great moments. I definitely think it'd be up there.
For any of you, would it be the number one?
Come on now.
06.
No? Alex? 06?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, because it was first. I mean, for me personally, it was to me, that was about Zoe at the end.
It's hard for me to be unbiased when it comes to 06.
Yeah, I know. Well, but that was about... No, it was, but for me that was about Zoe at the end because of all of that he went through in the 90s and not getting there, and then of course getting sick and leaving and coming back when they built that team around him and all the rest of that stuff, and then, you know, him answering two questions, you know, for 20 minute answers and all the rest, just the way that he felt in Dallas and everything there, and of course, you know, Jason Williams running around the locker room spraying people with champagne screaming I'm not an effing cancer. It's hard to beat that. And, you know, Antoine Walker saying he was going to drink until training camp and being a man of his word. There was a lot of fun stuff that went on there. But I kind of feel like for a lot of Heat fans of sort of a later generation, a Jimmy ring would probably beat a big three ring because it feels harder. Right? Is that now? I mean, G, you're shaking your head. I mean,
2013, the world was ending, and they did it, and they coronated the best team this franchise has ever had. They coronated the 27 game. It's like they finished the job, and that team is viewed as one of the best ever. And it was hard because Bosch goes down. They're fighting for their lives against Indiana. Dwayne's yelling at Spo. It looks over. Then Dwayne comes back to life. And he summons 2006, and they're just obliterating everyone until they lose a weird game at home. And then they're fighting for their lives. Game six at Boston. That has all the capital M moments. And then, of course, game six, the Ray Allen shot, the whole thing. I was 06 was my first out. You know, I'm 31 years old. So, you know, that was when I was growing up. I was in middle school. But nothing. 2013 was like, that just felt like that was a true hero's journey. That you can't write that, man. That's what sports is about, baby. That's why we're all here. That's why we're doing this, because of that. Like, it's just, I'm gonna keep it a stack. Can't touch that.
Maybe I'm just bitter because I had to rewrite my entire column when Ray made the shot.
The lore behind the Ethan Jinx is rich. It's crazy.
No, but that was in the Heat's favor. That was in the Heat's favor. Like, I was right there. I'd written a beautiful column, and then Ray hit the shot. And I'm like, fuck.
Again,
and then I had the exact opposite reaction.
Mother bleeping column out of here.
Out of here, exactly. Shut up and pod, as we say here, at five on the floor. Lou, is there any circumstance that Jimmy could lead them to a ring that would have more significance than that, Moleskine Journal, that G just gave us?
Oh, for sure. For me, it's going to, if they do win, it'd be second. No question. Absolutely no question. They were the villains of that era. So but they're a different kind of villain because they're the villain that everybody underestimates. They've made it, you know, to G's point, they lost the 11 finals. I mean, you know, they lost against Dallas and they were able to recoup it the next year. But now it's like, you know, they made it, lost to the Lakers, then lost in seventh in Boston. I'm sorry, here in game seven versus Boston, make it again, losing five to Denver. This Jimmy ring, somebody said it's going to hit like oxygen if he does get it, because they've been knocked down not once, not twice, but three times. They've been knocked down three times. Nobody would have ever in their wildest dreams when Jimmy got here in 2019 thought we would be having this discussion. And the amount of, honestly, just bad luck, a bunch of shit that's happened. Sorry, a bunch of things that have happened in general. It's a perfect story. You know, bubble run happens. The team wasn't too good. COVID hits them. They catch fire in the bubble. By the time they get to the finals, go on, bam, the team was a shell of themselves. Then 2022, he misses the three, the Strew stepping on the line. Last year, they make it after being an eighth seed, like literally historic run. This year, again, they're the eighth seed. Like, if Jimmy wins this ring, there is no question in my mind this is the second best ring. And for some who did not experience the 06 finals, not me, it'll be the best ring.
Alex, would you trade some of these playoff moments for a watchable regular season next year?
Oh, my God. No, man. And that's the whole magic about this, right? Like, we have to...
Go to 41 of them at home.
Yeah.
Now.
So, that's why it means more coming from us, because we have to be there and watch this BS. Like, if Jimmy pulls a rabbit out of his ass again, it'll be the most impressive one this time. If he does what he did last year again, even if it's not like quite to that level, because it almost definitely will not be. Again, prove me wrong if you will. Tell me to shut up and pod. All that. Like, I don't personally see it coming. If he does that again, especially again, like I mentioned before, with Terry and Duncan and their current status, them already being like an anemic offense, like you need those guys. I think all the pressure is gonna ramp up right back up to those like their best players. And if he does it again, man, I don't even know what to say. Like, as one of the commenters said, it would be one of the most, you know, like unconventional sports championships of all time. Shout out Draco Fox in the comments. And that's what it is. Cause I feel like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, that's maybe the most like unconventional championship in NBA history if they were to pull this off this year. Cause it's just, they have not shown themselves to be a contender, and they didn't last year. And that's why it was so special last year. So I don't know, man. It would Jimmy is just something else. Every time you think you have him figured out, like he does it again. I just don't know that he's gonna be able to do it again. Like I was looking forward to seeing him with a little bit more offensive help, despite it all. And the timing of
I'm
all
not
this
confident.
Stuff is not great. I mean, either.
No, I think both Greg and I. Well, I mean, I'm not confident. It's not because he doesn't have enough offensive help. It's because I don't think he's the same. That's where I come down on
that's
this.
The
and
thing. I want more offensive
I feel
help
like
because he's not the same.
Right. Well, I feel like they built a better roster, but they don't. But he, you know, it's kind of like we always talk about. It's teams, they take certain arcs, and sometimes by the time that you get something to a certain place, the other player has aged out. And we've talked about it with Hardaway and Zoe had a little bit of this. By the time that Zoe kind of grew up, Tim's knees were shot, and this happens with a lot of teams. That with the Dolphins, by the time that the Dolphins drafted Zach and JT, Dan was not the same. And then, again, this is the arc of it. I'm going to throw a hard question at you here, because this guy gets praise everywhere. It's funny, Heat fans criticize him, and then if anybody says anything, then they jump to his defense. This is kind of the way Heat Twitter is. If you could change one thing about the way that Spo coaches, what would it be?
That's a fantastic question, Ethan. I've never thought about this. That is a difficult question. I think that the only real things that I, the only real quips that I have with Spo is his propensity to have that stubbornness about his lineups. And I know that he tinkers a lot, but I think like he has like an idea of what he likes to play, but he hates rotations. And I know I think ultimately it doesn't matter, but that's like kind of one of them that annoys me. I think the other one is, and it's tough to say, I do think, and he's gotten a lot of flack for his offense lately. I don't think it's for lack of creativity, because I actually think their offense is really creative. I just wish they played faster. And that's probably like my biggest thing. I don't really understand why, even with LeBron, they were like middle of the pack in pace. I found my answer. We took the long way. It's really just like his teams never play fast, and I don't understand. I think the only time that they for like a prolonged stretch played really fast was in 21 when everyone was hurt, and it was like Lowry, Vincent, and Max, and they were just like running around everywhere. But you know, they didn't really have a lot of choices then. But that's the one thing I wish that he would be more open to playing fast basketball, because I do think like you can really juice your offense by running. And I think a lot of teams that aren't that good and that don't have the quality of offensive players that Miami has, that have like worse quality offensive players, because in reality Miami's problem is like nobody can dribble, like nobody can really get to the basket and beat their man one-on-one. That is like the main every problem with their offense is distilled to, can you beat your man one-on-one? And the answer for the most part is no, including Jimmy, which a lot of times he'll come off the screen and he's not fast enough, because then that help from the nail pinches in and he's like, well, that hole's closed. I'm going to dribble back out to the 3-point line. So I think playing a little quicker, having that urgency to run, to go down the wing, especially when you have a guy like Kevin Love who will fling him, that'd be probably the one thing.
The funny thing is, Spo has always talked about how he wants to play faster, but when players say they want to play faster, but when you actually give them the chance to play faster, he's sitting there with his arm going like this, telling him to play faster because they don't really want to play faster. But there's something that comes in on the
that's
comments.
That's generational.
I think it is. They don't want to play and they don't want to run.
No, but I mean, like, every Spo team is like that. Is that just because, like, some teams play fast, but, like, why is every Spo team? Because I understand it when, like, you have a guy like Dwayne or LeBron that they, like, I want the court the way I like it. I want my screen to come here. I want my weak side guy to be in that corner. I want this hammer screen set so that I have that option. Like, but I mean, even with the Deion teams, like, really, we're not running with Goran Dragic as your best player? Like, what do we? So I think
he did develop a drive and kick offense. I mean, they played fast in the half court, right? Like, they were a little quicker with that kind of stuff, with the 7-11 stuff that they were running. But this gets into a larger question, and this comes in on the chat. I know I've mentioned this on Discord and some other places, so I'll go to Greg on this one, because I wonder if this is a larger organizational issue, because there are fans that have been calling for Spo to add an offensive coach to his staff. And I'm of the mind now that they should. And not because Spo can't fix his offense on his own, But I think that this trend that they have of basically just hiring their former players as assistants, whether it's, and there's no disrespect to any of them individually, but whether it's Quinny or Malik or Karan or Wellington or before him, Anthony Carter, that it's just none of these guys have really coached anywhere else.
Yeah.
So there's no new ideas that are really being brought to the table. They just do it the Heat way.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And I actually think there would be some value, right, of bringing in Alvin Gentry, other voice. Somebody along those lines, right? Well, I don't know if it's Alvin Gentry specifically, but someone along those lines. But Greg, are they too insular as an organization?
Where did that come from?
I think that they could use an outside perspective. I don't know how much so. Like, we need to keep things with expectations should be clear that they're not going to bend on certain ways throughout. You know, we've seen this over and over again, but, and I don't think that Spo necessarily needs to revamp the staff. I'm not suggesting anything like that whatsoever, but a fresh voice with fresh perspective about how you run an offense, how you get guys to play a little bit faster, to G's point. Why not? I mean, you have to eventually look at all of your areas of opportunities to improve. This would be an area where Miami absolutely paces a spot where they could improve. So I'm all for them looking to maybe add a slot to the bench with an offensive-minded guy. I don't know who that person is, but I would be open-minded to having an outside perspective kind of get integrated into this mix with the rest of these coaches that are all just Heat culture guys to begin with.
What's Alex, Mike D'Antoni doing?
I mean, that's where Spo got a lot of what he has. I mean, I mean, Spo credits D'Antoni with a lot. I mean, now he's not the only one, obviously, but I'm talking about a former head coach that you put on your staff to work with you and just give you some different ideas. I mean, Spo, look, LeBron talked about it recently, about what Spo did, you know, after the 2011 season, where he went around to a bunch of football coaches, including Chip Kelly. Sometimes it just helps to get some different perspective in there. And look, with the Heat, the thing I love about them is they're all the same. The thing that I think may hold them back at times is they're all the same. Like, I just think sometimes maybe throwing one other voice into the mix can shake things up again. Spo did love Adelman. That's true. That was one of the guys that he clearly followed. All right, so let's get to it. We've talked about best case scenarios, worst case scenarios on the podcast and all this sort of stuff. I'll go to you first on this, though. What is the chances you give them of winning Wednesday night?
Biased or unbiased? You know, I'm going to answer with the passion. I came dressed because it's playoffs. It's business. We're talking business here now. I give the Heat a 75% chance of winning Wednesday. And I'll explain why.
Okay.
I personally think the offense with Tyler as of recently, this starting five that they have came to a... That's basically came around towards the end of the season with Caleb, Tyler, and Jovic, you know, next to Jimmy and Bam. I think that's the most balanced starting five that they can throw out there. And that starting five did not play in any of the... First of all, the regular season doesn't matter against Philly. Jimmy played one game, Embiid played one game. The key point of this all is Tyrese Maxey, in my opinion. And I think Caleb, being the fifth option offensively, allows him to zone in and hone in on his defensive you know, what he made a name for himself for was defense and energy. The offense came along later. So I like him being, you know, reserved to that fifth spot. Also, I don't think Spo is here to mess around. If Maxey just starts going off and starts doing something, I think Jimmy is going to, we talked about it. Like, this is where Jimmy proves everybody wrong, you know, do it again. And defensively now against Tyrese Maxey, one of the best guards in the league. But personally, the Bam and Bede matchup, I trust, you know, fully trust Bam to do that. So the 75% chance is literally just the shooting that Jovic has provided for them. Tyler has provided for them. If Terry comes back off the bench, that's going to be a great spark. Jaime seems to have found his footing. And hopefully if Kevin Love plays, you know, 75%.
To lose point really quick.
Go ahead.
I don't know why that alarm went off. That starting lineup has played 109 minutes. It has a 121 offensive rating. And they're plus about five per 100 possessions net rating. So
which is better than the Rozier Robinson for sure. Bam. By a lot. Yeah, I mean they have almost no sample size when they're starting lineups this year because of how many they played. But the one thing we know is whatever sample size they had with the Robinson, Rozier, Butler, Jovic, Bam lineup was not good. Like that's it just wasn't good. And to me, honestly, I'll say that's the one that made the most sense to me was that lineup. But it didn't seem to work, and I can't really figure out why. But you mentioned something about, okay, if Maxey's going off, we go to Jimmy. Why not go to DeLon?
Spo's not going to play DeLon.
What offensive version of DeLon are we getting?
I mean, the offensive version of DeLon is he's got like 19 assists and two turnovers since he arrived. He's actually shot the ball pretty well. I mean, it seems to me like he's been prepping. Like, they knew Philadelphia was a possibility here.
Yes.
And it has felt to me over the past week and a half that he's been getting DeLon run and stopped with the Patty stuff, in part because he wanted to get DeLon ready for this matchup. I think he's going to play Wednesday. Does anybody disagree with me?
Absolutely, I think he should play, and I think he will.
I think he should. I'd be surprised if he did.
I think, honestly, it really just depends on, like, who's in and out, like, if we're being frank here. And it seems, or at least that's what Spo has done, like, throughout the season, right?
If Rozier's available?
Yeah. Then it gets dicier. Yeah. I'm not expecting that, though.
If one or two of those guys are available, if both of them are available, he's absolutely not going to play. If one of them is, then I think it's up in the air. Both of them were not looking good before they were out, and both of them are everything is just up in the air right now. Like, we don't, like, unless, you know, Ethan Leif, disagree with me if you're wrong, it doesn't, like, we're not really sure right now if they're going to play and if they're feeling like themselves. So if that is the case, then I think DeLon does play.
I mean, Greg, it seems to me like they brought him here specifically for a game like this.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, or a series like this. Exactly. This is no, if not now, when?
Right. I mean, so I think he will get, a little bit of action. All right, final question here. And again, we appreciate everybody joining us. Went a little bit longer here, but thanks on the comments. Again, check out all the podcasts. Also, check out Miami Heat Beat, the great work that they do. Hopefully, Alf will be well, and we can bring him on here at some point later. It's been a long time since he ducked me, or us. I'm not going to say us. No, it's all right. We'll get him on another time. But there were a couple of mentions of Riley in the chat here. Okay. And, you know, I always reference this that 9 years ago, I asked Pat when he was going to retire. And he said, you know, when I get another title, me and, you know, Chris, his wife, you know, you won't even see us. We'll be in the south of France. We'll be gone, all the rest of that. Pat's also, of course, referenced that Pat's going to retire in Malibu is the greatest lie ever told. But if they get knocked out in the first round here, or they get knocked out in the play-in here, like, how much longer are we expecting Pat to keep chopping wood here? I mean, he's 79. He's almost 80 years old at this stage. And are you guys comfortable? I don't know who wants to take this one first. Are you guys comfortable with the succession plan that it appears that they have in place, which some combination of Spo, Andy, et cetera? Yes, Alex.
Can I jump in here? I'm going to try to, you know, what's the word? I'm blanking on the word. I'm going to channel you. I'm going to channel you over here.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this topic right now when we might have to do 4 months of off-season content? Why? We go back to this.
You're so true, bestie.
I guess we're not doing it with Heat beat. That's why. So you know what? I don't want your. You know what? Don't answer. Don't add. You know what? Just cut Alex's mic. Greg, I kind of know where
Tony reality cut his mic.
This is going to be an hour and a half Greg and I alone episode anyway. I have a feeling this is going to be one of those at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning where Greg's home from work and we're like, okay, well, let's talk about Pat for an hour and a half. So I'll let the two of you guys go. All right.
You're going to have to pry that
expecting?
Man.
What are you expecting, G?
You're going to have to pry that man and his cold, dead fingers away from this team. I don't believe for a second he's going to leave. I think if they win, you think he's going to leave on top? No way. You got to defend the title. I don't buy it. When you're that age, you just can't go back to doing nothing. And by the way, the biggest lie I ever sold, that's a Dan Levitard call of Malibu or Miami. So I'll name names, Ethan, unlike some people. I'll name names. Love you, Dan.
But Levitard also thought they should draft Wayne, so I can name names on that also. They had Eddie Jones.
So I just don't see that. I think there'll be some sort of, again, this is super speculative, but I imagine a person like him would leave when there's kind of some life stuff gets in the way and you're just like, okay, I really need to, he's not just going to leave, you know, on his own terms like that. That's not typically how that goes. Either they have disaster season after disaster season and he quote unquote fires himself again. Or, you know, life stuff comes up and he just decides it's probably best if I go, regardless of where the situation is. I also don't know what he's told people. I'm sure that, you know, has he made a promise to Jimmy? Like, hey, I'll be here. You know, maybe that was something that was important to Jimmy. I don't know. That's something that you and Greg, Leif, I'm not calling you Greg. You and Leif could better expect on. And I don't think he's a problem. I don't. I think this is a great front office. I think everybody who complains about them is just, they don't know what they're talking about. I don't think they understand how the salary cap works. I don't think they understand how they got Jimmy Butler for nothing when they had no cap space. And doing that has a price sometimes by, you know, the back end of all that becomes very complicated. And I think they've done really good. They flipped an expiring big contract of a player that none of you liked and a first round pick that, you know, into a guy who's younger and they could trade later anyway. So they've done really good. Duncan Robinson looks like a value contract, if I'm being honest. We talked about how they hit every mid-draft pick except for one, Precious, who looks to be playing pretty okay in New York. So I don't know what we want to count that. I mean, they haven't had a bust, you know, in a really long time. So they have a great front office. They do a great job. They are not this Danny Angeification of GMing is not what this organization is going to do. And frankly, I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch them trade Duncan Robinson for 2 second round picks. That's ridiculous. I don't want that. I don't want that. You don't want that. You fans, you actually don't want that because you're not always OKC. Sometimes you're the Timberwolves and you look like that for 20 years. You're the one seed or three seed or whatever you are now. You're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs or the second round of the playoffs. So you don't want that. Let them cook. Let them cook.
Well, a lot of subliminal shots fired there. I was going to go to Lou on this before we finish. But I mean, the one about trading Duncan for 2 second round picks, we know who that's directed at. But actually, this is a good way to finish here, though, because if a certain person listens to this podcast, we mentioned the Levitard show earlier, we're going to get accused of being Heat Twitter adjacent and running pom poms for the front office now. So I was just wondering if anybody wants to respond. G, before I let you go, Lou, are we as a group here, do we carry too much water for the Heat front office? Because we've been accused of that by a certain producer on the Levitard show. Just curious. Any of you guys want to throw that out?
Lou, you close.
Look, this is what I'll say on this topic. Everybody, GMing from home is so much easier. Not having to be the one to make these phone calls is probably so much easier. You know, hypotheticals, what ifs, believing every report that's positive, but not the negative ones because it doesn't impact your team. All that can just, it makes it hard to stay focused. At the end of the day, this team, for whatever reason, whether it's been player, personnel, all that goes into front office, coaching, all that goes into front office. It's one of the most consistent front offices the NBA has ever seen. We know what we're getting. It's a good product, at least in the playoffs. And you know, to G's point, you're not Charlotte, you're not Washington, where you're bottom five every single season, and yet you're getting picks and you're busting on them, missing. You know, sometimes it's criticism is deserved in specific moments, for sure. Nobody is perfect. But I think the overwhelming theme is they like their team.
Everybody is celebrating what the Knicks have done. Wow, what a great job.
They've done nothing.
Look at what the Knicks have done. The Knicks fans would trade everything to have the last 5 years this quote-unquote bad front office has had. So I don't want to hear from these people. They don't know what they're doing. And they're going to say, oh, they got miracle runs. Guess what? They went all in for miracle workers. That's what you get when you go all in for those dudes. That's what whale hunting is. It's not Jalen Brunson hunting. It's not seal hunting or whatever you want. They went whale hunting, and they got a guy that makes a damn difference. And that's the difference between them and other teams. And that's just the truth.
Could you imagine the hype if to your point, if the Knicks did this? Just like thinking about like this 4 year run. If the Knicks were to do this, it would be a much bigger deal. Like, I'm sorry, I just thought about it now.
They got 6 weeks of insanity, and everybody went crazy. So
they got Brunson getting into the second round, and they went crazy.
Brunsanity. At least he's a legit player, unlike Lynn. All right, we got to wrap it. Thanks again, Alex C. We'll save the topic for us for another time. Hopefully, we got a few more weeks until we got to get to. I mean, we're doing that again tomorrow with Manso, so we'll bring him on. We got Will on tomorrow. We've already done ours. I'm sure
he. Do you think they're gonna win before we wrap it up? Because Lou said it already.
Yeah, dude. You know why? Because Jimmy Butler's fueled by hate, and he's not gonna lose to Tobias Harris. There's no way. You cannot stop a man that's fueled by 100% hate. You can't, especially that guy. That he's just fueled off just hatred and agenda, and I know because I'm that guy. I'm a hater. I know it when I see it. There's nothing more powerful than a man who is hell bent on ruining your life, and that's why the Heat are going to win tomorrow, because the Sixers are stupid. They lost on purpose. They have a floppy MVP candidate who literally cannot stay on his own 2 feet for his own good, and they're going to win. Tyrese Maxey is okay, I guess. Kyle Lowry's a goat.
Good night, everybody.